March 10th, 2020, regular town board meeting at 7 o'clock.
You all set?
Ready.
All right. I'd like to welcome everyone to a regular Monroe Town Board meeting for March 10th, 2020, and ask for a roll call by the clerk.
Councilmember Hogan?
Here.
Councilmember Noonan?
Here.
Councilmember LeClaire?
Here.
Councilmember Donahue?
Here.
Supervisor Kuzmir?
Here. And I ask that everyone please rise for the pledge of allegiance.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, everyone. From time to time, we have regular town board meetings as standard protocol, and from time to time, we will call a special town board meeting. But this evening, this is truly a special town board meeting because we are will be honoring posthumously Honey Potter. We're so pleased that her family is here this evening. Honey was a long-time employee of the town of Monroe in several capacities, but way before she was an employee, she was a mother first. And putting together a proclamation, which we'll be reading shortly, it was incredible for me to learn the impact that she had on the town of Monroe, the residents, her community, her church, and in my personal dealings with her, there was not a day that she came into the office in all the years that I was on the town board where she didn't have a vibrant smile. And it was infectious. It made everybody who she came in contact with just feel that much better about themselves. And she was truly an asset to our community. So at the last town board meeting, I did read into the record Honey's obituary, but we knew there was so much more that could be said about her. So the town board unanimously wanted to recognize her by proclaiming her birthday, March 21st, as Honey Potter Day in the town of Monroe. And so in doing that, I have a proclamation that the board has signed, and I would like to read it into the record, and then we'll pause briefly and present it to the members of the family that are here with us this evening. So, I shall begin with a proclamation declaring March 21st, 2020, Helen M. Honey Potter Day in the town of Monroe. Whereas Helen M. Honey Morrissey Potter was born on March 21st, 1934 in South Lenz Falls, graduated from St. Mary's Academy in 1953, and married Edward H. Potter, Jr. that same year on July 5th, 1953. And whereas Honey Potter was married to her husband Ed for over 40 years, where together they raised their five children, Connie, Edward, Jane, Brian, and Bruce. And while a lifelong resident of the town of Monroe for over 85 years, helped raise her 12 grandchildren and 14 great-grandchildren, and whereas in addition to her own family, Honey Potter was a mother and a grandmother to untold number of individuals over the years, and was widely known as a caring individual who took a great interest in our community, at one time assisting for nearly 10 years with the supervision of over 500 children from our four elementary schools that participated in an after-school bowling program held at Pine Lanes. And whereas Honey Potter shared an endless abundance of smiles and sunshine with everyone she came in contact with over the years, and was always dressed with style and flair, something she required of her children as well, often known to state, quote, it didn't cost any more to look sharp, end quote. And whereas Honey Potter volunteered countless hours of her time at St. Michael's for bingo nights and as a member of the Rosary Altar Society and thoroughly enjoyed decorating the church and altar for the holidays and special occasions. And whereas, known as a highly skilled bargain hunter, Honey Potter and her sister loved the retail experience, and they were famous for finding the best sales everywhere with JCPenney, widely known as her favorite store. And whereas Honey Potter worked for the town of Monroe, where she began as a booth attendant at the town's transfer station on September 18, 1994, and worked serving the residents of the town of Monroe for over 25 years. And whereas Honey Potter began her favorite job in 1997 as a crossing guard at Monroe Elementary School, where she would often provide gift bags to the children she crossed, all while continuing to work as a booth attendant for many years. And whereas Honey Potter's family fondly recalls that the handheld stop sign she used in her role as a crossing guard gave them pause and reminded them to think about what they could do to be a better person and to stop and help someone in need. And whereas Honey Potter received the South Glens Falls Central School District's, quote, Bulldog Pride Award posthumously in 2020 for exhibiting the school district's core values of respect, responsibility, trust, and citizenship, and now therefore be resolved that the Monroe Town Board does hereby unanimously proclaim March 21st, 2020 as Helen M. Honey Potter Day in the town of Monroe, dated this 10th day of March 2020 by order of the Monroe Town Board, which has been unanimously signed by all members of the town board. And so I'd like to present that to the family, and if members of the board would like to join me.
Yeah, absolutely.
There you go. On behalf of the town of Monroe, we are thrilled to recognize all the service and efforts that your mom put into making the town of Monroe and our community a better place. So thank you very much.
Thank you, and we're very proud.
Any corrections, comments?
Yeah.
Not all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? They are approved. And then we'll take the audit meeting from February 25th, 2020.
I make a motion to approve the February 25, 2020 audit meeting.
Second. Any discussion or comments? All in favor?
Yes.
Abstain.
Opposed? And we have one abstention. Council member DeClaire. Under agenda item 3, which is a set future meetings and workshops, I have reached out to, my office has reached out to the NYSERDA, which is the Nearest Energy Research and Development Authority. They have expressed a willingness to be of assistance to the town as we move forward in crafting our draft solar law. And in my conversations with NYSERDA, they have expressed their willingness to provide an informational meeting where they'll provide an overview of solar power in New York State, why it's so popular, what the state is doing to incentivize it, and the impacts it can have on the community. I thought because there is an interest for many different reasons in solar in our community, that it would be very helpful to have them come and have a meeting where the public can hear probably about a half an hour informational presentation, which would be followed up with questions from the public. So my recommendation would be I have a couple dates that they would be available. And this would be put on by a senior project manager in their Clean Energy Site Division. I could do March 30th or the 31st or April 1st, if that works for board members.
Any days. The 31st or the 1st, I think better. Tuesday or Wednesday.
Does anybody have a preference for those two days?
You said 31st or?
Probably the 31st at this point, I said.
Yeah.
31st.
Yeah.
And what time is 6 o'clock?
6 o'clock is good.
So you have that, Leanne?
I do. Thank you.
Next item on the agenda I have this evening is agenda item 4, which is a COVID-19 update. Just wanted to bring the board up to speed with some of the things I've been involved in, as well as what the state has been involved in. At the county, I'm a member of the Saratoga County Health and Social Services Committee. Last Wednesday, we had a meeting, a regular meeting, where we received an update from the Saratoga County Public Health Director, Catherine Duncan. At that time, there hadn't been any positives in Saratoga County, but she did provide an overview of the coronavirus and some of the recommendations that the CDC and the County Health Department and the State Health Department are making in regards to the virus. So after that meeting, when I came back to Town Hall, I immediately had conversations with some key folks at the Department of Health, and it was approximately 3 days ago when there was two positives in Saratoga County. And upon that information, Monday morning here at Town Hall, we put up informational posters on all the entrances. My office had a conversation with the cleaning staff to do daily instead of several cleanings every couple days on surfaces that are used on a regular basis where there's high public traffic. So Art's been very good, agreed to come in, and willing to help. They've been wiping down surfaces ensuring that we have disinfectant at the points of contact here at Town Hall. We also have informational packets at each of those locations. They're actually here this evening, both from the CDC and the Sarasota County Health Department. I also, after leaving the county, had my office post that information with links to the CDC and the Sarasota County Public Health offices on our website so that our residents could receive the latest and greatest information available on the virus. Over the weekend, a group of us, supervisors from the Northway Corridor towns, which is from Clifton Park all the way up to the town of Moreau, created a Northway Corridor coronavirus task force so that we were all on the same page and had information readily available should anybody want to know what the latest and greatest is. Yesterday, I met with the County Public Health Director for an update, spoke with her for about an hour regarding the case of the positives in Saratoga County, as well as what they're doing, any things they need assistance with, offering on behalf of my colleagues on the task force, willingness to provide her and make sure her office had everything she needed to continue to be on top of the virus. After that meeting, I actually had, at 4 p.m. today, I had a conference call with the governor's staff where they indicated that there are now 173 cases in New York State, primarily down in Westchester and New Rochelle. But they did indicate that that number of positives is 23% of the cases in the U.S. So we're currently ranked number two in the positives here in the U.S. They are they have done on-site quarantines in New Rochelle. There's a one-mile radius down there where they are diligently working to ensure that there is no spread of the virus. I know that the governor also activated National Guard to assist in that process today. And we have, as I indicated earlier, we have information available for anybody who'd like to take it here. I have it at my office. We also have it at all the different department heads' offices. And I did attend a briefing at 5 p.m. today at Boston Spa, where the county public health director provided an update to all elected officials and key emergency response individuals from the various communities in Saratoga County, which is where I have the latest handout where that comes from. And one of the things that that was articulated, that everything is changing at a moment's notice. The recommendations from the CDC are being tweaked throughout the entire day. The governor's staff is doing daily updates. I'll be on another update tomorrow at 4 p.m. And we know that this isn't going away, but here in Saratoga County, the two individuals that are confirmed cases are contained and hasn't spread outside of those individuals, which is all good news. Interestingly, when the presentation was being made this evening, they had put up some studies on the screen, and the bottom line is the importance of washing your hands. And some of the statistics that were revealed were a little bit troubling. They studied 3,700 people in a recent study, and they indicated 10% don't wash their hands ever. And those that do wash it, 25% are on the effect of the Washington Mandate. So the number one way to prevent the spread is through cleanliness. So the number one recommendation is ensure that you wash your hands and stay away from situations where there could be very quick spread of the illness if someone is contaminated. So I'll continue to keep the board updated on that. And if you have any questions, I'll be happy to, if I can, answer them for the board. I can tell you that the emergency services, through their 911 program, when they receive here in Saratoga County as well as in other counties, indications of a positive is immediately put into the system so that the first responders respond to a location where there's a potential or there is a positive at that address. They are prepared before they go into the household to assist them with whatever the emergency is ahead of time. So Saratoga County is on top of it. The emergency services office is doing a fantastic job coordinating with public health and state DOH. So we're doing what we can, and I think the measures that they have in place will be very helpful in minimizing the potential for spread of the illness in Saratoga County. Next item on this evening's agenda, I've listed as agenda item 5. We have a resolution proclaiming, which would proclaim Verona as a Purple Heart town. There's an effort underway that's being spearheaded by Senator Jordan to create a recognition, if you will, trail system with designating plaques on highways. And so her office reached out to the town of Moreau to see if we have an interest in becoming a Purple Heart town. I thought it was a fabulous idea. Anything that we can do to recognize the service of our men and women who have served in uniform or are serving in uniform is something that we should do at every opportunity. So if the board is in agreement, I have prepared a proclamation that the board would like to designate Moreau is a Purple Heart town. Upon doing so, it's the intent of Senator Jordan to join us at the March 25th town board meeting, where she has a Senate proclamation to provide to the town of Moreau. Of course, there's a pretty good in the fact that we can still gather publicly at that point in time, and a lot of other things. So if the board is in agreement, I'll ask the clerk to read the proclamation and ask for someone to move that.
Sure. So, I think it's great.
Resolution proclaiming Moreau as a Purple Heart town, whereas the people of the town of Moreau have great admiration and the utmost gratitude for all the men and women who have selflessly served their country and this community in the armed forces. And whereas veterans have paid the high price of freedom by leaving their families and communities and placing themselves in harm's way for the good of all. And whereas the Military Order of the Purple Heart is building a network of Purple Heart highways, counties, cities, towns, and institutions in a web connecting all entities with the goal of forever honoring those men and women who made the sacrifice, and some the ultimate sacrifice, for our freedoms and received the Purple Heart. And whereas the Purple Heart is the oldest military decoration in present use and was initially created as the badge of military merit by General George Washington in 1782, and whereas the Purple Heart Trail was created to establish a symbolic and honorary system of roads, highways, bridges, and other monuments that give tribute to the men and women who have been awarded the Purple Heart Medal, And whereas the Purple Heart Trail accomplishes this goal by creating a visual reminder through the placement of Purple Heart Trail road signs reminding those who use the road system that others have paid a high price for their freedom to travel and live in a free society. And whereas the contributions and sacrifices of the men and women from the town of Moreau who served in the armed forces have been vital in maintaining the freedoms and way of life enjoyed by our citizens. And whereas many men and women in uniform have given their lives while serving in the armed forces, and whereas many citizens of our community have earned the Purple Heart Medal as a result of being wounded or killed while engaged in combat with an enemy force, construed as a singularly meritorious act of essential service, and whereas March 24, 2020 has officially been designated as the day in the town of Moreau to remember and recognize veterans who are recipients of the Purple Heart Medal. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Moreau Town Board hereby proclaims the town of Moreau as a Purple Heart Town, honoring the service and sacrifice of our nation's men and women in uniform, wounded or killed by the enemy while serving to protect the freedoms enjoyed by all Americans.
Thank you, Leanne.
Second.
And under comments, I'd like to comment. I'll go first. I think we should reach out to the VFW and hopefully widely publicize what we're doing for the fire to the next board meeting, so that hopefully we have another community that have served that can be here for that presentation. Everybody is all in favor of that presentation?
Yes.
Yes. Will you reach out to Substrander?
Yes.
Okay.
Great. You want to do it?
We go. Thank you.
Shouldn't you work? Shouldn't you work?
Okay.
Item 6 on this evening's agenda are Highway Department requests. The first one that we have from Paul is for, it's an annual request to start a 10-hour, 4-day work schedule commencing on Monday, April 13th. And he is indicating that that schedule would continue through Friday, October 30th of this year. And I'll just add that the highway clerk is available 5 days a week down there during normal business hours. So there will be staff, and even though the hours are for 4 days for the highway employee.
Yeah.
It's pretty much standard across Saratoga County and New York State. And the reason for it is for efficiencies, which is why different highway departments and public works stops do it that way.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Yes.
I vote.
Any opposed? Hearing none, motion carried unanimously. The next item we have on highway, I think the board members, we just got the quotes today. I think all the board members have a copy of it. Paul's looking for approval for an emergency repair for the sweeper, which
did a little head gasket. Is that what?
Yes.
Yeah. We pulled it out, got ready to go to work, and they decided not to.
And that's the 2015 auto car sweeper / vacuum truck. He has a quote from Tracy Road Equipment out of Queensbury, price not to exceed $3,900. He has a quote from Adirondack Truck Repair in Queensbury at a price of $5,750. And Cummings Sales and Service said they'd have to see the truck for a diagnosis and they'd have to pay a 3-hour charge before they would provide a quote. And Kenworth Northeast out of Albany said they also need to see the truck for a diagnosis at a charge of $185 per hour, minimum of 4-hour charge to look at the truck. So Paul's recommending that we go with Tracy Road Equipment for the emergency repair because this is the time of year that we usually sweep our town roads and we're unable to do that at this time. This money would be paid from account DB5130.405, which has a balance as of March 2nd of $35,919.10.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries unanimously. That was it for you, Paul, right?
That was it.
Yeah, I just want to add under highway that we will have a pre-construction meeting tomorrow morning on the roof down there. So moving forward on that. All right, item 7 on the agenda this evening is Recreation Department requests. The first one that I have from our rec leader is you're looking for authority from the board, the supervisor, to sign the contracts with Rookies Hurricane Travel Baseball Club Incorporated, as well as Southwest Falls Youth Lacrosse. I know that the rec committee has reviewed both language and the council has reviewed the both contracts. I think we're ready to go if everybody else.
Yeah, I would approve it.
Somebody would like a motion authorizing the supervisor to sign those contracts.
So moved.
Second. Any discussion?
Peter did a lot of work on this. I appreciate it a lot. Thank you.
What do we have to call?
Roll call.
Roll call.
Or however it does.
We didn't do roll call.
No. You want me to do roll call or are you doing all in favor?
All in favor.
Yes.
Any opposed? Motion carries unanimously.
Okay.
The next request from the rec department is in relation to the concession stand floors. The board recalls upon inspection by New York State Department of Health, it was an issue for those entities to be able to utilize those facilities without doing the upgrades that are necessary to be in compliance with DOH regulations. I know that Pete has done a lot of work in getting quotes for that and in working with the groups to help pay for them. A portion of the total cost, and I'll just read a description of his request. This is to apply epoxy urethane, quartzite, vinyl chip floor system to the Little League and softball quad concession stand floors. It would also include grinding, sanding the existing floor, filling cracks and pitted areas, and applying the epoxy quartzite vinyl chip floor system to create a smooth, easy to clean, and chemical resistant surface. The first quote is from Tough Coat Flooring in Southlands Falls for a price of $9,000. Second quote is Composite Technology and Infrastructure out of Albany for a price of $12,000. And the third quote is from Custom Concrete Coatings in Southlands Falls for a price of $14,460. This money will be paid from account A7140.4. Has a current balance as of February 29th of $65,086.02. And Pete is recommending that we go with Tough Coat Flooring at a cost of $9,000. And they also would like it noted that the Southlands Falls Youth Baseball and Girls Softball organizations have each agreed to donate $2,000 toward the cost of this project. So therefore, the cost to the town will be $5,000 out of that $9,000 cost.
Great. So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries unanimous. Uh, Also, on the rec department request, our rec leader is looking for permission to advertise for part-time seasonal laborers at the Harry B. Carter Recreation Park and also for summer lifeguards for the Sandbar Beach. The posters would appear on the town website as well as on the town's Facebook page immediately, and he's indicating that those positions will remain posted until the positions are filled.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried unanimously. The final item we have on the recreation department is, I don't remember what board meeting it was. It wasn't too long ago, but the town approved the purchase of a new Toro Z Master 7000 series mower for the recreation park.
Mm-hmm.
And this was purchased under state contract. However, he brought to my attention that under the resolution, we did it under Green Management LLC, and it should be under Grassland Equipment, which is a owner of.
We encountered a technicality, if you will. Toro is the manufacturer. They use regional distributors, so Grassland whole ownership of the state contract for the whole sort of northeast region of the United States. Green Management will serve as our dealer, and they will earn a commission on the machine from Grassland. They will deliver it to us. They will hold the warranty, service it if we need servicing. But again, what we found out was the purchase order itself that the town has to provide has to go to Grassland. They own the contract. So we just need to amend the resolution a little bit. My suggested language would identify both parties. That way we have the distributor and the dealer listed.
So my recommendation for the motion to read would be to rescind resolution 2020-103 and purchase of the Toro Z-Master 7000 Series zero-turn mower from the state contract held by Grassland Equipment at a price of $17,357.76 with free delivery from Green Management LLC, who will serve as the town's local dealer.
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Yes.
Opposed? The motion carries unanimously. Is that it?
Thank you. I'm learning.
It's funny, we all are.
All right. Item 8 on the agenda is the municipal water IMA with South Bend Falls. Actually, I should say intermunicipal agreement with South Bend Falls. When we did it last go around, only for 1 year, and the terms are identical to the previous agreement. And to make sure that our village residents continue to have the opportunity to be covered by this agreement, the Water Committee wanted us to take it up as soon as possible, and so it's on this evening's agenda. And I don't know if the Water Committee wanted to offer it again before.
I've been talking to Nick Bodkin about it, here and there, and I talked to Jesse on the phone last Wednesday, 2 Wednesdays ago or so, and he brought up a couple concerns that, you know, we should be aware of, that this project could be up to 4 months or so. They aren't at a spot yet to just about to put their project out for bid, so they don't have a timeline yet. So then I spoke with Nick, and he had said, I spoke to him again, and he had said, well, there might be more of a need to supplement Woodcrest, I don't know if you know this too, supplement Woodcrest more so than what that the bladder that they have can provide. But he's not 100% sure yet of their need. And then he added that they're close to getting that pit taken care of on the William Street 32. They just approved Glens Falls Fire Department to be their closed space overseer, I guess, or whatever they have to do. So
they have to provide, I believe it's confined space training for somebody so that they can actually work in that pit.
Right. So I think we're good on our end. They still have quite a few loose ends to kind of tie up. Do you have any concerns?
We're going to service just the Peter Dam area for them. We've done that in the past, and in the summertime, it's not an issue for us or anything if they're providing bladder tanks for the rest of their districts when the time comes to put their tower down. Now, ours may be down if we go ahead and have it painted this year. I'm not sure, you know, when their timeline is or anything, so we need to, you know, we need to coordinate that also. If they've got some sort of timeline so that we don't hit it at the same time, because that's our big tank that we, if it has to be down for a reason, that's right. Okay. And in the summertime, that would be a real, you know, real convenience to us.
Yeah, and I express that, you know, it would be great to have it near the end of this of the season where people aren't using as much water. Yeah. And of course, if it's up to 4 months, the concern is, is winter going to start in November, or is it going to start in early November, late November, maybe timeline. So, and then you mentioned that the only time, I guess, that they would be relying on us and their bladder system would be when inside work is being done, and that's not the length of the whole project. So, they can get their timeline down once they know who their contractor's going to be. So.
And I know council has reviewed it and is okay with it. I did provide a copy to the town's engineer that works with us on our water and sewer districts. He needed a little more time before they could provide any direction, recommendation, or comment. Thought he could have something by next week, but you know, I know the water committee wanted to take this up today.
Sure.
So, yeah,
it's great.
Whatever the board's pleasure is on.
I actually spoke with the village's council this afternoon. She was inquiring as to where the town was on this, and I did it on the board's agenda tonight, and all we had changed was the date. She said that was what the discussion had been, that everything was changed last time. So she's aware of this.
Okay. Good, okay, thank you.
So we're ready to move forward with the
I think, so current one runs out May 2nd or sometime in May. Do we need to move forward tonight, or can we maybe wait and see where they... I feel like they have a few loose ends to tie up. I don't know if it could change the scope of what they need from us if they don't get those... I mean,
well, we've got time.
Yeah.
Yet. I mean, if you want, sure. It'll give you an opportunity to get feedback from town engineer mm-hmm. too.
Yeah.
We've consulted everybody.
When does it run out?
May 2nd, I think.
So if there was an emergency, I mean, I suppose we could continue on the same basis as we were on.
If there's an emergency, we're going to turn it out.
Carla, did their attorney mention the timeliness issue at all, or just want to know where we're at?
No, they just wanted to make... She didn't know she was making the changes or I was making the changes.
Oh, okay.
But she didn't indicate that there was anything that was going to change. She didn't discuss any of the... What you just discussed. I mean, really what this talks about is, you know, how much they're allowed to get a month
right.
per day and how much it costs.
Right.
And that is not changing as far as I know.
Nope.
So we can table it until March 24th.
I mean, the date on here we have is April 1st, 2020, so we might be able to get some more feedback between now and then.
Well, we have it on April 1st because that's when we did last year, but it wasn't executed until after that date. So we we can just make it whenever we want. And I think we did April 1st also because that's usually the village's fiscal year starts April 1st.
Okay. Not because it's April Fool's Day.
Not, I declared it because it was April Fool's Day.
So, okay, table. Can you follow up?
Yeah, I don't know if you want Carla to follow up.
With who would I? I would just follow up with Nick and
Bill. That's fine. I don't know what we're doing. You can let your counterpart know.
I don't know what you want me to change, so I'll just.
I'll talk to Nick and then.
You may not need to change anything.
Right. Yeah, we can't change anything. We didn't get feedback from our engineer and the board would like to have that.
Okay.
How's that?
Yeah, it's good.
Also under water department, we have a request from Jesse to do attend a spring meeting workshop of the Adirondack Waterworks Conference to require their required credits for certification and renewal. The cost of the conference, which is held in Latham, is would be $45 each for Jesse as well as Christian for a total of $90. And this would be paid from water only, which is account 8310.4. And has about $657,000 in it. So there's enough to cover the $90. And I would also ask that the motion include reimbursement for mileage for
Let's take a down trip.
You can take a down trip? All right, then we won't need it.
Second. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries unanimous. Anything else, Jesse? I'm sorry. Thank you. Item 10 on the agenda is the appointment of a public health officer. Correct me if I'm wrong, Council, I believe each municipality is required to have a public health officer.
Yes. If you recall, the town board is the local board of health. Each local board of health has to appoint a local health officer.
Right.
So you would be sitting now with the local board of health to appoint this.
Correct. So is the board of health at this point?
You are the board of health.
Well, I don't know if they have to change that.
No.
All right. So I have had over the past year or two, I can't remember, we have this vacancy as a result of a resignation of our previous officer. And in light of the issue that we're facing with the coronavirus, I thought it would be prudent that we act on this as soon as possible. I have an individual who is willing to serve in that capacity. It's Dr. Jennifer Lynn Kiefer. She also has a master's in public health. She has obtained her medical education from Albany Med, as well as St. George's University School of Medicine in Granada. She has an undergraduate degree from SUNY Albany in health policy, management behavior, as well as a master's in public health. She also has a Bachelor of Science from SUNY Environmental Science and Forestry in Syracuse in Environmental and Forest Biology. She's a board certified in internal medicine, a licensed physician in New York State. She's a Saratoga County resident. She currently is a medical director at the county. Position for the County Sheriff's Correctional Facility, as well as the Department of Social Services, and she practices as an attending physician at Ellis Medicine Primary Care Malta Outpatient Clinical Practice, and her specialty is internal medicine. And and I think the clerk has it as well.
I do.
Would you like to read that?
Sure. Resolution, Town Board as Local Board of Health, Town of Moreau, subject appointment of local health officer. Whereas pursuant to Public Health Law 302-2, the Town Board of the Town of Moreau is the local board of health for the Town of Moreau. And whereas, as the local board of health, the Town Board has the authority pursuant to Public Health Law 308 and 320 to appoint a local health officer that meets the qualifications contained in the state sanitary code. And whereas the Town of Moreau currently does not have a local health officer. And whereas the Town of Moreau desires to appoint a local health officer to begin immediately. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Town Board, acting as the local board of health, hereby appoints Jennifer Lynn Kiefer, MD, MPH, as the local health officer for the Town of Moreau. And be it further resolved that the board hereby fixes the salary of the local health officer at $2,000.00 plus reasonable expenses as set forth in Public Health Law 323. And be it further resolved that the town clerk is hereby directed to notify the New York State Department of Health of this appointment.
Thank you, Ms. Ann. Would somebody like to move that resolution?
Motion to approve.
Second. Any discussion?
One question.
Yes, sir.
Is that $2,000 per year, per month, or?
Annually, it'd be a salary.
Okay.
I know we've been working on this at times.
Well, after the events of the past couple of weeks, there were more. There's more questions. Any other discussion?
No.
Questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Yes.
Opposed? Motion carries unanimously. I will let her know in the morning that she has additional responsibilities. Item 11 is supervisor's items. Before I get into those, I just wanted to, when we were on Recreation Department, wanted to make the board, or I think some board members aware, but I just learned about an hour ago, we had some vandalism over at the J.P. Dark Park, and I believe that, were they on a motorcycle, or they just walked in there?
So we believe someone who was on a motorcycle or dirt bike and did some damage to the area around the quad field, but that is separate from some smashed lights and light fixtures that we found on a couple of the pavilions and the Legion field concession stand. I believe my staff replaced 13 bulbs and 4 actual light fixtures today to the tune of about $160. On those buildings. Unfortunately, we believe, you know, the damage is happening after the park is closed for the day. Currently, the park is open 8 to 4 daily. April 1st, we'll start going 8 to 8. So there will be staff in the park, you know, for a longer period beginning April 1st. But it's concerning, and we're going to try to keep a real close watch. But we're also open to suggestions if the board has any in terms of how we can minimize potential vandalism or maybe potentially catch the perpetrators. I'm not sure.
Okay. Well, the good news is it was not a snowmobiler.
Yeah, how many of those cameras do we have?
We own 2 game cameras, still picture cameras. We are going to begin moving those around. I think that the quad area would be a good place to maybe utilize those. But there are so many buildings, the pavilions, and different angles. It's going to be difficult to try and cover everything with just a couple of cameras. I'm not really sure what the answer is at the moment, but I'm going to look into some other camera systems and see what we can come up with.
All right, thanks, Pete. Just want to go over some correspondence I received. Make the board aware. I received a an email from the squad leader slash project manager, Will one in from Department of Transportation regarding the preliminary design of the I-87/17 improvement project. He would like to meet with me next week. I will be meeting with him Tuesday, 11 a.m., to go over where they are with everything and what they're thinking. I'll report to the board afterwards. Received correspondence from Stephanie Oakley, who, if you recall, she is a homeowner on Old West Road. We had agreed to provide her with some boulders for her property to meet her needs and to help protect her family. And she had reached out to me to say that she has received a recommendation that she not execute the hold harmless agreement, but is hoping that we will continue to look into the matter and consider some other possible solutions that she might be open to. So we'll keep you posted on that.
Mm-hmm.
The local historian has reached out to my office looking for the possibility of having a workspace. In her conversations with the county historian recommended that that's a good idea, that there is a location where town residents can meet with the local historian. And so she is looking for, number one, an area to locate, as well as the potential for a couple chairs and desks, maybe a bookcase and file cabinets for any current work she's performing. And I did speak with Pete. One of the ideas I had was to utilize space in our underutilized former sheriff's substation over here. I know that Pete thinks that that's a good possibility. I know that council member LeClaire has access to some chairs and desks, but in the meantime, we do have, you know, something that we can set the historian up with. So I guess what I'm looking from the board to see, number one, is that a site that you would like to have her utilize, or if you have other suggestions, I'm open for that as well.
It's a good spot.
I think it's a good spot.
Yeah, you might want some paint there.
Properly
functioning.
Yeah. And by having somebody in there on a regular basis kind of gives us another set of eyes to get to the potential third issue over there.
Heating issue.
Heating issue, cold
water issue.
Water issue. We've recently upgraded the heating issue, our system a little bit.
That's right.
We did repair. So the furnace itself, some of the other plumbing has been upgraded recently. I've also asked our cleaner here at Town Hall to spend some time over there either this week or early next week, kind of going through the building. We're also going to be moving some things that are currently in storage there. We're going to be moving some things around again to open up for possibly one or maybe even down the road more office spaces in that building.
I'm more used by the tax season. So we're going to get what we have. The village is just going to paint, replace carpet. The chairs there are excellent. There's desks. Sometimes they've got their filing cabinets in the past. If they don't, if they aren't getting rid of them, they obviously didn't know when I talked to them about 2 weeks ago. There's other offices that may be up for rehab, so I'll keep in touch with Pete. And if we need to haul them, and it's normally on a short notice. But I'll find out soon if they're replacing those items, and then we can kind of plan on what we need. And be ready when they dispose of those things. So we might be able to get to a desk and a couple of nice chairs.
All right. So it's okay to do the nice place.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I'll keep you posted when everybody's settled in. I did, at the last board meeting, I think I updated the board that the individual responsible for cleaning the highway garage was no longer going to do that. We did reach out to Art. He's in agreement to do that. I know he's been down there and spoken with Paul. And I think that in the past we used to do like 4 hours of cleaning down there. This individual had cut that back to 2 hours on a regular basis. Art said that we may have to move back closer to that because he was hustling to get it done in two and a half hours. And
you know, we just have 2.5 and try to cut it back to 2. We might have to go back to 2.5.
Yeah.
So it was a little rough the last time.
Yeah. Yeah, it was.
Winter's always the worst there.
Yeah. So anyway, the good news is he's willing to do that in a couple of hours. So.
Okay.
I received a request from Ted Mansour at a transfer station. A situation arose about a week ago regarding the disposal of a very large rug down there. And if you look at our list of pricing, the maximum amount is $25 for any rug over 12 by 15. For resident and non-resident pays 30. Apparently, this was a significantly larger size rug. So, you want to know if we would entertain adjusting that price. I said that I'd bring it to the board, but my recommendation would be for the transfer station committee to maybe talk with Ted about it and come back with a recommendation.
How often does this happen?
Yeah.
And was it a carpet or a huge room or was it an actual like rug? Are we different?
It was
a carpet rug here.
I think it was like a wall to wall carpet for an entire house that was cut up.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So.
And that falls under the rug. Okay, great.
I can reach out and talk to that.
All right, cool. So I received, if the board recalls, I received correspondence regarding the expansion of the Monroe State Park and the question about taxable status for some of that property because some of that property now they pay taxes on. And I received correspondence back from New York City Office of Parks and Recreation and Historic Preservation from the real property section. From Robert Kuhn, who's their real estate specialist one. And I'm not going to read the whole thing, but in a nutshell, they're indicating that under current statute, they will not have to pay any taxation on that property. I'm going to turn this over to council just for review. But we have an opportunity to respond within 90 days. I would like to respond with my thoughts and the board's thoughts on that determination and go from there. So.
You want to forward that to me? Or
okay.
Can I come into that? I'll talk to Leah about as well.
Yeah. And just as a point of history, I don't know if I have it here. In 1962, there was a determination that the property would not be. And the town challenged that, I think it was in 1967, the town won and became tax. So there's a little bit of gray area there going back and forth. There's a precedent for taxation. It's a lot of acreage, and I don't want to close the door on
Friday, I had the privilege of addressing the South Island Marathon Dance, and spoke to the participants briefly and indicated the town board's support to the proclamation that we passed. And they now have a copy of that. Just to highlight some meetings that I had. Last week I met with Borlax, who, as you know, is very interested in developing solar arrays down in the Ag District. It was at that meeting that I had indicated interest in having NYSERDA to come in and provide an educational forum. They thought that was a great idea. They were very supportive of it. Actually, they said that if I had any difficulties getting them here, they'd be willing to assist. We have that worked out, so we're in good shape. I'm a member of the Sarasota County Water Authority Board, attended a meeting last week where we went over our financials, and we're in excellent shape. That was last Thursday. This Monday, I'm on the board of directors for the Sarasota County Prosperity Partnership. I just happened to be the secretary for that organization, so I was involved in an executive meeting where a recommendation was made and followed up on yesterday, where the acting president, Shelby Schneider, was appointed to that, the president's position, through contract. During the full board meeting yesterday, she was made aware of that. She's very happy to be installed in that position. Today, I'm also a member of the Unity Committee, which is a committee at the county that was established to bring Saratoga County Economic Development Corporation and the Saratoga County Prosperity Partnership to a amicable agreement where they both work in unison for the benefit of taxpayers of Saratoga County. We had our first meeting since the change in their funding and structure that occurred in the first week of January this afternoon. They have adopted their logo, which now if anybody was interested in coming to Saratoga County and looking for economic development information, it will be under the umbrella of the Saratoga County Economic Development Alliance. It will take them to a page that has both organizations' information on it. Depending on what they're looking to do in the county, they'll know which entity to work with. So that's a huge step. I also spoke with Shelby today, and she's working on getting us an economic development plan for the town, which kind of became stagnant for many different reasons, but that's now a priority for them, so very happy about that.
Is there a question about that?
No.
All right, I think that's all I have under committee reports. I'm sorry, supervisor items, under committee reports. I know that the Economic Development Committee met.
Yeah, I can speak on that. Council Member Hogan and myself had an opportunity to meet with Dennis Robson and Tori
Riley
from SEDC. They wanted to fill us in on the rail feasibility study that they're undertaking on our behalf. And they explained the steps needed and what really can come about for the town of Moreau and surrounding areas, not just from business in our park, but the economics of for the jobs that it can supply. I was more than happy to hear that, you know, their job, that, like they say, you would be able to, you know, should this rail feasibility study work in our favor and rail comes back and the companies that are interested in working in our park down there, bring these jobs that where you could, you know, raise a family, put a child through college, you know, real big-time jobs for us. And then, you know, he worked through kind of some of the parcels that we have down there with John and I to show us where the spurs of the railroad tracks would go to connect with other entities in town to really put us on the map here for a... it would be an interesting, I guess, location, because what they were saying was we're unique now in the town of Moreau that we have this opportunity to grow, to do this, and that industry has changed 100% in terms of how to transport goods, and it's back to rail. So it's kind of a neat thing. I don't know if you have anything to add.
Well, only that the IDA actually owns the railroad lines, and that they've never been abandoned. They've been discontinued. So they're actually pursuing that feasibility of putting it back into action.
Right.
And they're doing it at their expense. And then being able to come back to us with what is going to happen or could happen potentially. And it sounds like it's a very positive thing for their community, for our community growth, for the industrial park.
Right. And, you know, the good news is on that feasibility study, you know, they may come back and say that it's not worth the investment based on the size of the park, the potential number of tenants there. In the town of Moreau, we wouldn't have spent a dollar on that study. But we can apply for the federal funding, the Northern Borders Project funding, without having a document that shows that it has been reviewed, that it is something that is feasible, and they recommend that we move forward. So, it's a win.
Right. I was thinking, let's give them our full support.
Yeah. Right.
Any other?
I'd like to thank John for sitting in on that meeting. I had tried to make the meeting, and I wasn't able to jump that in. I was able to get here. I think John was still here when I got here. Just had some questions for Dennis, and he covered some questions I had on how that process will go and what we'll get from that and what they'll learn from that. So I do, when you see your newsletter, I appreciate the extra time to stay able to answer those questions.
Okay. Yep. Any other community reports?
So I reached out to Ted this morning about the transfer station, and he's still waiting to hear back from Galusha, or representative from Galusha, regarding the
award.
Yeah, for the home.
Okay, I can. I might be able to facilitate that.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's. He said he hasn't gotten a call back yet. And he said nothing about rugs when I asked him if there's anything else to discuss.
Okay. No other committee report?
You've covered rec.
Okay, we're good. At this time, agenda item 13 is proposed to the floor, and then we'll move to the rest of the board. Please state your name for the record, your address, and you will have 3 minutes.
Dominic Thomas, Senior Lane. Tonight's class is called Good Character and Integrity 101. While covering rural town government for the local paper in the early 80s, I met a councilman named John Donahue, who seemed to be a calming influence on the Gardner-Condon-led board, someone who backed up his actions with facts. I also covered the aftermath of a suspicious fire that destroyed the Donahue family home, forcing parents and kids to escape out of the windows. The sizable family had to start from scratch and rebuilding their lives. Another time I encountered Mom, Kay Donahue, and daughter Catherine at the Balloon Festival after a group of friends and I worked a late shift and then had the genius idea to have a few drinks at a tavern, then go to the break of dawn balloon launches. I'm embarrassed to admit I offered a beer to Kay and Catherine, momentarily forgetting that Catherine's military husband and their son were earlier killed by a drunk driver in North Carolina. Catherine moved back to Moreau to recover and rebuild her life. Both mom and daughter graciously dedicated their lives to the anti-DWI movement. They expressed concern that I would get home safely, and Kay called me at work the next week to check on my welfare and offer their help. No pressure, no preaching, just genuine concern. Fast forward to 2016, and my daily walks around my new neighborhood, when I finally met the guy with the impeccable lawn and beautiful home, John Donahue, or JD. We shared some laughs and stories when realizing our connection. So it was only natural for me last year to trust his campaign pledge to represent everyone in Moreau, because good character and integrity seemed to be hereditary in the Donahue family. Enough other voters believed in him too, in rejecting the putrid political and personal attacks against him. Fast forward to the vile accusations this year that Councilman Donahue is a disruptive and corrupted board member. They are bald-faced lies. If J.D. is so disruptive, why is he voting with the entire board on all resolutions after this, his fifth regular meeting? Now the new strategy is to simply ignore, freeze, and refuse to answer Councilman Donahue's questions, as evidenced at the February 25th meeting. Even Mr. Hogan reneged on his public commitment to attend a highway committee session with Councilman Donahue. Mr. Kuzner's and his town's GOP committee bosses can't even come up with an inventive or original strategy to malign someone who has good character and integrity. I've witnessed these egregious tactics and more during my varied career, from covering municipal governments as a reporter to being a legislative staffer for the state assembly and beyond. The commonality? It's the modus operandi of a government that has something to hide.
Anyone else like to address it? Hearing none, any board members have anything
to say? I just, actually, Mr. Tom, I wanted to say congratulations and thank you for giving your time at the community center. I noticed your picture in the handout. I just want to say thank you for your time there.
Appreciate it. If not, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.